Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Alex Park. I'm the attorney of record for the appellant Shin. I'd like to first thank you for letting us go first. The time will be allocated as I'll be addressing the court briefly for about a minute. The bulk of the time will be allocated to the amicus attorney who is on the case, William Rapolo. He will present the argument on the stop before 5 or 6 minutes, and then we'll reserve whatever time is left over to respond to the government attorney.
All right.
Thank you. Currently, Ms. Shin has an approved I-140 with the USCIS.
Now, I've heard a lot about I-130s. What's the one I-140?
It is an immigrant petition for alien worker, Your Honor.
All right.
She's ready to adjust, but for the fact that the third preference, the employment-based preference, has been backlogged over to year 2002. She has a priority date of 2006. That means waiting for 4 years, Your Honors.
What is her specialty which justifies the 140?
She is being hired as a skilled worker, as a cook.
All right.
Also, Your Honors, on November 16, 2007, we just filed a class action at the district court for the Northern District of California requesting that this case be heard for the first time on the same arguments that are being presented here, namely estoppel, unclean hands, and latches. We filed a class action, and now the case is lodged with Magistrate Chen for a first CMC sometime in February of next year.
Let me get this straight. You're seeking to have the United States government restrained from removing Shin pursuant to the immigration laws of the country?
That's correct, Your Honor.
But isn't jurisdiction of immigration vested in the Attorney General?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Let me make sure I understand the record here. Didn't Shin concede removability before the immigration judge?
May I address that after? Yes, she did. But that is because in this particular case, factually, and all of the Sister cases, because of what Sister has done, there has never been an application for a petition. Everything went from an application over to adjustment. In all honesty, we could not argue that we did not have the valid petition because the Sister, the INS agent, and the brokers bypassed that critical step. We don't have a WEC tracer or EAC tracer, what is known as an application tracer that goes back to the petition.
Well, Mr. Sister is the bad guy in this whole thing. Nonetheless,
yes, Your Honor.
Your client did conceive removability. Isn't that correct?
Based on that particular fact, if in fact that step was the only step that was bypassed, we did concede on a very limited standing that we thought we were filing for an application, and we didn't know that that application process had been bypassed, and it was a qualified concession that if indeed that was bypassed, there was no way that we were going to now retroactively erect and argue in good conscience that that step was not bypassed because it was bypassed by Sister.
I understand your argument.
You want to give time to your partner?
Yes, sir. Right.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, William Rapolo with the law firm of Baker & McKenzie. This case is before you today because 14 years ago, the U.S. government granted a green card to Ms. Shin.
Will you speak up so that everyone can hear, please?
Absolutely. I'm sorry. 14 years ago, the government granted a green card to Ms. Shin. 9 years later, they realized they made a mistake, and they have sent her deportation papers and want to now throw her out of the country because the government realized they made a mistake now 14 years ago. I am here to ask you to stop them from doing that. Ms. Shin was issued a valid green card by Leland Sister, who was the head of the San Jose office, who is, had the full authority to issue green cards, and that's exactly what he did.
But it was an unauthorized act, and how can we bind the government by the unauthorized act of its agents? We have case law in the Ninth Circuit, including Watkins and so forth, that went en banc, that says the government is not bound by the unauthorized acts of its agents.
Well, there's two points to that. First off, this was an authorized act. He had the authority. The government gave him the authority to do exactly what he did, which is issue green cards. And that's what he did. And that's where it's different from all these other cases, where a government official did something that he clearly had no authority to do. Agent Sestero was able to do this. They put him in this position where he was the only person in that office who had unfettered discretion to offer green cards. And that's what he did. This green card was sent from the Dallas office. I mean, everything in this green card was official except the ways he went about it.
The way he went about it, selling them on the street. I mean, you can't say he had authority to do that.
Well, he didn't have authority to do that, but as the position that he was in, the government put him in that position where he's not just a line inspector or a line officer. If your court looks at the Salgado Diaz case of just a few years ago, that was actions of low-level border patrol officers. This man was head of the office.
What's your best case for the proposition that a government agent selling unauthorizedly government permits can bind the government?
Well, Your Honor, I look at a few different cases. I think one of the biggest cases that I like is the Johnson v. Williford case. I mean, in that case, if you look at the two different facts and errors of that case, the government was a stop from bringing Mr. Williford back into prison, Mr. Johnson back into prison, because he was a narcotics trafficker who was sent to jail for 15 years. In that case, he was let out after 3 years by a mistake. Clear violation. These officers clearly made mistakes and letting him go. He was in the community for a year and a half. The court then the government went and rearrested him because they realized their mistake. After a year and a half, the court looked at it and said, "No, you can't do that. You're stopped from doing that because Mr. Johnson has been in the community. He's an asset to the community. He's been readjusted."
All right. Let me ask you this though: estoppel is an equitable doctrine, and your client's hands were not particularly clean, though she was in reality divorced from a man who had never been in the United States and held only a high school degree. She accepted a green card as the wife of a skilled worker or professional in the United States holding a college degree.
In accepting that, she relied on the representations of the government, of the government and its agent.
Many of those facts were not correct.
She talked to Mr. Lee, and I, if this is a comical...
It doesn't pass the straight face test, counsel.
But what I understand that. What she did, she relied on representations of someone who said, "I work with great attorneys, I can get you this green card."
And that changes her relationship with the husband? That's a really great attorney.
It doesn't change her relationship with her husband, but She at no time acted in bad faith. She was approached by someone who she thought was a lawyer, went ahead and told her that he could go ahead and get her these because they have fantastic abilities. Really what they were doing was paying off this immigration official who went ahead and authorized this and gave her this valid green card, which she's had for 14 years. She is in this community. She's a taxpaying member of the community. She has never been in any trouble, hasn't been convicted of any crimes. I mean, this is a woman for 14 years now, has been a productive member of the community.
These are you should address those arguments to the executive and perhaps to Congress to get her a private act making her a citizen, but not to this court.
Your Honor, I believe this court has the authority and has in the past stopped the government from doing such affirmative misconduct as this, as Mr. Sestero did. Mr. Sestero, should be pointed out, had never served a day in jail, wasn't ordered to pay any restitution from his victims. This is a man who's profited from his illegal activity. And here, someone like Ms. Shin, who paid what she thought was truly a legal process to get her green card, is now being told after 14 years she's got to leave the country.
You've used up your time. I don't know if we're going to give a minute for rebuttal.
All right, thank you very much.
Thank you.
May it please the court, Sarah Maloney for the respondent. The court should deny the petition for review.
Voice up, please.
The court should deny the petition for review. Shin admitted that she's a visa overstay and she's removable as such, and she conceded without qualification that she didn't have valid documents when her status was illegally adjusted. Because she's removable as charged, there's no basis for this court to equitably stop the government from removing her. The absence of a viable challenge to removability means that Shin would only be challenging the DHS decision to commence proceedings, the IJ's or the board's decision to adjudicate the case, or the DHS decision to execute the removal order. Under INA 242G, judicial review is precluded over those matters. Since Shin is seeking estoppel, in spite of her conceded removability, the court lacks jurisdiction over her claim.
Estoppel is going, as I understand it, the basis of estoppel does not have to do with those three acts under 1252G, over which we have no jurisdiction. The estoppel is to stop the court from denying that she has a valid green card. None of those three, commencement of action, deportation, or execution, come within that theory. So I think you've got better grounds upon which to argue.
Well, assuming jurisdiction, the government shouldn't be stopped from removing Shin due to the lack of evidence that she knowingly participated in fraud committed on her behalf.
Your voice still is not projecting.
Assuming jurisdiction, the government should not be stopped from removing Shin due to the lack of evidence that she knowingly participated in fraud committed on her behalf. The fraud crime was against the government.
She's guilty of dirty hands.
Well, there's little evidence of that, although certainly she should have known that she was ineligible to adjust her status and that it wasn't unlawfully.
If she was divorced at the time from her former husband, and her green card had her as being the spouse of a skilled worker or professional holding a baccalaureate degree, isn't that a sort of a basic fact which she is misrepresenting by holding the green card?
Yes, it's true. It's true that she was ineligible, there's no affirmative misconduct against her by DHS or EOIR, because it was Sestero in his criminal activities, his unauthorized activities, that he issued her the green card. It wasn't the government. It wasn't a valid green card. She can't show the remaining elements of an estoppel claim either, because the crime, because Sestero acted outside of his official capacity. She can't show affirmative misconduct, that there was any agency knowledge of the fraud, and that the agency or even Sestero had any intent that Shin would rely on his misconduct to her detriment.
Let me ask you another question. Why shouldn't we grant petitioner's motion to reopen if she has a viable visa petition pending?
She has an approved I-140 visa petition for a skilled worker. Congress has put numerical limits on the number of visa petitions that can be immediately available for petitioners in the United States or aliens in the United States to adjust their status. And so the Department of State issues the visa bulletin, and currently they're accepting applications from aliens who have a current priority date of September 2002. The petitioner, Shin, in this case, her priority date is in 2006, so it may take years, if ever, for her priority date to become current. and for her to be eligible to adjust.
She didn't present any documentation, is that correct?
With her motion to reopen?
Yes.
Yeah, the board didn't abuse its discretion in denying her motion to reopen. Not only is she ineligible to adjust her status, she didn't attach to the motion the materials required by the regulations.
And this is her second motion to reopen, and you only are allowed one.
I believe it was her first motion to reopen.
Well, I thought it was her second motion. All right.
But she's ineligible for relief. She never was eligible to adjust her status. And she's known since at least March of 2000, if not earlier, that her documents are unlawful. And she's done nothing to mitigate the damage. Or I guess her reliance on it is unreasonable beyond that, especially. I guess unless there are any more.
If she were removed, her application for on I-140 would continue, and she could come back when that was granted, correct?
Yes.
And the country of removal would be at Korea?
Yes.
Would she not be barred by the 10-year statute? Does that apply or does it not apply?
Yes, it would apply in this case because she didn't ask for and agree to voluntary departure, so she would be barred. However, there's no indication that DHS or CIS wouldn't grant her the waiver.
You would not object to a voluntary departure request, would you?
She can't do that now. She had to have done it during administrative proceedings before EOIR.
But can you prospectively grant a waiver so that when her I-40 comes up, she can come back here?
No, I don't think the agency is willing to do that. I know that the agency is intimately involved in these SUSTAR cases. They have attorneys working on it, the client agency, and there's no indication that they would deny a waiver in these cases.
So isn't it sort of a fantasy to say that she can come back 4 years from now when her number comes up under 140 because she'll be barred under the 10-year rule?
Unless she's granted a waiver, but we don't even know that her visa will become that her number will become current. She may not.
How does she get a waiver granted, counsel?
She would apply through to the Citizenship and Immigration Services, and it's within their prosecutorial discretion whether or not to grant it.
But you're not willing to represent that the waiver will be granted now, and well, how is her case going to be any better 4 years from now?
Well, we don't know what would occur between now and then. She might be inadmissible for other reasons as well. She's removable, and
all right, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks.
Are we giving him 1 minute? Or?
All right, 1 minute.
I'll be quick, Your Honors. First of all, my client did not constitute a fraud charge. Second of all, she did not constitute a fraud charge. There was no fraud charge ever laid on this case. Second point is, when she was issued a green card, the scheme was such that she wasn't informed about her being the wife of a skilled worker. What Sister did was he pulled his numbers from the first and second preference, first preference being an excellent researcher or an intra-company transfer, somebody who's getting $150,000 a year, or from the second preference, which is master's or bachelor's plus 5 years of experience. Those two quotas are unused. So Sister knew that those quotas not being used, what he would do is he would pull them from the U.S. State Department's quota availability and route it such that the green card would go to Texas Service Center and then come back. Now, Ms. Chin was never told that she is in fact getting a card as a green card as a wife of a skilled worker. We did not apply, third point, we did not apply for a voluntary departure because the State Department in Seoul, the Embassy of the United States has this Sister roster attached. I had a client who went to Korea on a visit, lost his green card, and applied for a permission to re-enter. He was summarily denied because he was on the Sister roster. So as a practical matter, at the administrative hearing, we could not apply for a voluntary departure because of that roster being attached at the State Department. I think the whole point of argument here being put forth today is a fairness, Your Honors. I think she relied on set of the conducts that Sister and the brokers had done. Government
But she did concede removability, so how can she claim denial of due process?
Based on that limited, in all consciousness, we could not, when we found out, and it all became, it was revealed during the administrative hearing that Sustair took all these records and burnt them. He was having a glass of wine and he burnt all the A files.
He's a bad man. That doesn't save her.
I understand. But in all consciousness, if Sustair was lodged with the responsibility from the agent of Ms. Shin to be able to send that file over to the Eastern Adjudication Center, Laguna Niguel, or if he was indeed delegated the duty to send them to the Eastern Adjudication Center, if he didn't do that, we couldn't in good conscience as the respondent in the administrative court say, you know, we're going to turn blind eyes to that and insist upon a valid green card.
I understand your argument. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you. Case of Shin versus Mukasey is submitted. Thank you, counsel, for your arguments. Thank you very much.